Hello, hello, hello. Everybody's making their way in. Good to see everybody tonight. Hope y'all are doing good. Okay. How's everybody? Run them in out there, Curtis. Tell them quit running their mouth. Let's go. Get them in. On delay. But got a few things to talk about. First of all, please don't forget to sign up for the work day. Well, not only sign up, but come. Okay? JC's been working hard trying to get everything situated and where we're going to need work and what we're going to need done. And got the grass cut this week, and it looks better. But we got a lot of work we're going to get done. And so we'll see you guys around 8:30 Saturday morning. And then we plan on having, I think, sub sandwiches. Thanks what Anita said. Sub sandwiches for everybody that works. This is not the government. If you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. So, Randy, if you just stand around holding a rake. Randy Carpenter, stand up. Stand up. Y'all listen. You see this man right here? This is a man after God's own heart. Amen. I didn't plan on doing this, but I'm going to do it. The Bible says to give honor where honor's due. I love this man right here. I've been on missions trips with him. If it wasn't for him, we would have never met Danita. I went out to eat with Brenda last night. We would have never went to Hope for Haiti. None of that stuff would never happen. I never got to hear all your stories. I'm going to get you to come on a Wednesday night and tell all your stories, okay? And y'all, you bring your tissues and then bring your... I didn't say sit down. He will have you in stitches. He's the funniest man I've probably ever met in my life. And I definitely want you to tell about the front row when about the Holy Ghost. You're gonna have to come back and tell that. But Randy, I want you to know I love you, buddy. Amen. All right. Randy and Dalton. Dalton, I'm not gonna do you that way. I don't know you good enough yet. I will later though. Randy and Dalton's going to be going on our Alaska trip with us. So we're going to have a meeting tonight after church. And so he just snuck in here tonight to hear somebody preach, I guess, or whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do. Amen? All right. So we're excited about that. Please remember Sharon Bowman's family. Her sister passed away, and Sharon was really good to her. Sharon's good to everybody, but Sharon was really good to her. And y'all pray for her. She's going to need some prayer, okay? And we've got a couple other people that's had some stuff going on. Greg Wisnett, please continue to pray for him. And am I missing anybody? I feel like I'm missing something. Everybody good? Steven, is that you raising your hand? Okay, you just scratching your head? Okay, just making sure. Hey, I love y'all. God's been moving, hasn't he? All right, so y'all, I've been giving you some good, easy messages, right? So when I throw one on you tonight, you ain't going to get mad at me? All right. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Let's stand. You guys can give your missions offering as you're going out. I think the guys have the offering plates back there. And we just appreciate our awesome worship team. A couple months ago when all the COVID mess was going on, different things, they just started just coming up here and doing the worship without the drums and without the keyboards and without all that. And you know what? That anointing is still just as sweet. So we love them and appreciate them. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we love you and we honor you tonight. This is your place. This is your house and this is your service. And so, Holy Ghost, you do whatever you want to do tonight. We thank you for the way you've been pouring your spirit out. I thank you for salvations. I thank you for the healings. I thank you for families coming together, getting stronger. I thank you for men and women studying their Bible. And you know, those that just wasn't doing anything, man, are fired up for you. And that's the spark of a revival. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you for drawing people from the north, south, east, and the west that's supposed to be here. And God, some of these new people have just been like a breath of fresh air, Lord. And I thank you for them, for all of them. We love the ones that's been coming for a long time. They've held the fort down. But Lord, it's just been awesome to have all these new families coming in. We got a lot more coming in this week. And we just praise you for that, Lord. And we've prayed for intercessors. We prayed for worshipers. And God, you're sending them in, and we praise you for that. Thank you for our visitors tonight. Pray that you bless them, God. And thank you for your word that you've given me. And I pray, God, that I'd preach it with the authority that you've given me, with the anointing that you've given me. Your anointing destroys every yoke of bondage. And I pray that every person that hears, every person that watches, God, that they'll be touched tonight, Lord. I thank you for my friends behind me, my awesome worship team, Lord. I thank you for their hearts and how they love you. And God, how you've been changing them. And you're just helping us to be all that you've called us to be, Lord. Don't let us miss anything. We don't want to miss anything, Lord. We want to be faithful over what you've called us to do. We love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We thank you for everything in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship the Lord. Amen.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are, faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are, and all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. A beautiful Savior, you have brought me near. You pulled me from the ashes, you have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have said, this captive free. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are, and faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are, and all your promises are yes and amen. So faithful you are, faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are, and all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. Oh, we rest in you tonight, Lord. We find our peace at your feet. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. And I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness, so faithful. Oh! promises, I yes and amen. Sing faithful, faithful. Promises, I yes and amen. All your promises, I yes and amen. And all your promises, I yes and amen. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. And hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Hallelujah. Death has lost his grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Praise Him, church.
Exalt you, Lord, no other.
is the only one worthy of our praise. Let's sing it again. Give him all you've got.
There will be no one like you, and no one beside you alone are worthy of all praise. And I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no
Cause there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Lift your voice. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. And nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Hallelujah. He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can change you. Amen. He's the only one that can heal you, set you free, deliver you, minister to you, save your family, save your children, save your husband, your wife. Hallelujah. He's the only one that can. I believe we can trust him, church. He's proven himself trustworthy. He is trustworthy. He's faithful. We sung about it a little while ago. He's faithful. He's been so faithful, even when we hadn't been faithful. God, I thank you for that. Graves in the garden. We were lost. We were lost and dead in our trespasses and sin, but God, through Jesus Christ, saved us. Amen? Set us on a firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. We really do. We love you. And Lord, we know that you're moving by your Spirit. And we give you the praise and the glory for everything that you've done and what you're going to continue to do. We won't touch your glory, Lord. It's not about us. It's about you. Everything we do and say is about you. Leading people to the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We honor you for your anointing that's in this place. Thank you for your presence that's in this place. We sung it just a little while ago. Your presence is all we need. It's been so many times I've been in such a battle, such a struggle, and I just got in your presence and it's all gone. Lord, help us, teach us to want your presence more than anything else. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We respect you, we honor you, and we glorify your name. And may we glorify you with our lives, Lord. I love the scripture that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. God, may everything we say and do bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, we love you and we praise you. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good worship. Amen. He's faithful. You starting to turn into a preacher or something, huh?
So, y'all know I don't like talking, but, you know, the Lord keeps saying, got to do this. I've learned something very valuable. With God, the more you dig, and the more you pursue Him, and the more you give Him control over your life, the more He blesses you. I've talked about how He's blessed my husband and my marriage. And I haven't talked about work, but He's blessed me there beyond measure. And my daughter didn't want to come to church anymore. I don't know why. But now He's done that too. So He just keeps moving. And the more you give, the more He shows Himself.
That's good. Revival. That's what it's called, revival. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all good? Turn to Luke chapter 19, if you would. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. In Milan, that's the way revival started. It was just like that. Families. Just a little spark here, a little spark there. And one day, hey, you ever seen somebody make a fire? It just come to me. You ever seen somebody had to make a fire? They put the kindling up. They get all the, you know, the stuff that'll catch on fire real quick, and they put the little sparks down there, the little stuff that ignites real quick. Hallelujah, whatever the name of it is. I've seen it a bunch of times, but and yeah, that's right. Whatever it is, and anyway, they hit that thing and poof, and then sometimes it's just that little ember, and then they'll take it now. That's the way it's going to be. Chapter 19, verse 11. We've been talking about eternal rewards and, you know, how we're going to be rewarded for the things we do on earth. Well, tonight we're going to deal with how Jesus shakes all that out and what He says about it, and also eternal judgment. You don't hear judgment preached in a lot of places. I'll be honest, I can't remember the last time I've looked online or somebody sent me something that talked about the judgment of God. But there's a judgment day coming, and we need to be shouting that there's a judgment day coming. You should be ready for judgment day to come.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you should be ready. You should be excited, because that's when you're going to receive your rewards and you're going to get to give them to Jesus. But look here in verse 11, it says, while the people were listening to these things, you know what they're listening to? Those of you that wasn't here last week or the week before, we talked about how Jesus was doing miracles and how the rich young ruler ran up to Him and said, what must I do to be saved? He said, you got to give everything you got away, come and follow Me. And He went away sorrowfully. And then we see where the wretched sinner, tax collector, IRS man, Zacchaeus, he got saved. He come down out of the tree, and he said, half of everything I've got, I'll give to the poor, and if I've stolen from anybody, I'll pay them back four times, which is what a thief would have to pay back if he stole a sheep. And then Jesus comes right here, and he's putting all this together. Remember, it's His last days. He's getting ready to go die. He's trying to explain to His disciples how you're supposed to live. And He said this, Jesus told them a story. He was going near Jerusalem. It says, the people thought that God's kingdom was going to come and to appear right away. Jesus said, a man from an important family went to a country far away. Now, He's talking about Himself. He went there to be made king and then return home. So He went and found 10 slaves or 10 servants. He gave them each about 3 months' pay. Put this money to work until I come back, He said. Put this money to work until I come back. But those who ruled over hated Him. Those He ruled over, the Jews hated Jesus. Everybody hated Jesus. All the religious people hated Jesus. It says the ones that ruled over Him hated Him. They sent some messengers after Him. They went to say or tell Him, we don't want this man to be our king. But He was made king and returned home. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. says here, then he sent for his slaves or servants. He'd given the money to, and he wanted to find out what they had earned with it. He told them and go and work, make his work. The first one came to him and he said, sir, your money has earned 10 times as much. He put it to work. He got busy. You know that you're given talents, gifts, and abilities? Amen? You're entrusted with those things from God. Just like you have a DNA, you have a DNA from God. You have a spiritual DNA. And none of ours is the same. All of ours is different. You're not supposed to be like me, and I'm not supposed to be like you. We're all supposed to be like Jesus, but I'm just saying we all do different things. Amen? And we got to realize that we've been entrusted with these things, and he's wanting us to use these gifts, talents, and abilities for him. So this man did it. And he said, the first one came to him, and he said, sir, your money is earned 10 times as much. He said, you have done well, my good servant. His master replied, you have been faithful in very small matter, so I will put you in charge of 10 towns. The second slave or servant came to his master, and he said, sir, your money has earned 5 times as much. His master answered, I will put you in charge of 5 towns. Then another slave or servant came, and he said, sir, here is your money. I have kept it hidden in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you. You are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in, and you harvest what you did not plant. He's telling the Lord, he said, I knew you. I was afraid of you. I was scared of you, so I hid all my talents. I couldn't tell you the people that are afraid to do anything for God. They're afraid they're going to fail. They're afraid they're going to do something wrong or whatever it is, and you hide your talent. Some of you have all kinds of talents and you ain't using them. That's why I prod and poke you and push you and kick you if I have to get you to get out of your comfort zone. Amen? His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you evil slave, you evil servant. So you knew that I'm a hard man, and you knew that I take out what I did not put in, and you knew that I harvest what I did not plant. Then why didn't you put my money in the bank when I came back? I could have at least collected interest. Then he said to those standing by, take his money away from him. Give it to the one who has 10 times as much. Sir, they said, he already has 10 times as much. I couldn't tell you the people that talk like that. Well, they've got all this and this and this and this. Well, you ain't even using what you got. Why is God going to give you any more? Y'all say, man, if you don't, I'm going to preach anyway. He replied, I tell you that everyone who has will be given more. But here is what will happen to anyone who has nothing or who wasted, who didn't do what I told him to do, who didn't put my talents and gifts and abilities and money to work. He said, this is what will happen. He said, even what they have will be taken away from them. And what about my enemies who did not want me to be king over them? Bring them here. Kill them in front of me. Revelation 20. I'm going to jump around. We've been going through the book on the on making disciples and stuff, but I've jumped around a bunch because there's so much good stuff in here. And in Revelation 20, this is what happens. In case you don't know this, there's two judgments. There's judgment seat of Christ, which is where all Christians will go and be judged for their works. And then there's a great white throne judgment. And you can find that in Revelation chapter 20. And I want to read 11 through 15 right quick. He said, I saw a great white throne, and I saw God sitting on it. When the earth and the sky and his face, the earth and the sky saw his face, they ran away. There was no place for them. I saw the dead, great, small, standing in front of the throne. Books were open. Then another book was open. It was the book of life. The dead were judged by what they had done. The dead were judged by what they had done. It says here that, and it says, and the sea, well, it says, and the things that were done were written in the books. The sea, it gave up its dead that were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead. Each person was judged by what they had done. I keep pushing that home. Each person was judged by what they were done. You're going to be judged by how you live your life. You're going to be judged by what you do. This right here is the sinner's judgment. Okay? Only sinners will be here. But they're not going to be able to cop a plea. They're not going to be able to plea bargain. They're not going to be able to stand before God and lie like they do in front of judges and everybody else. The books are written. Everything that we do is written out. And it's going to be recorded, and it's going to be brought back forth. We're not going to be judged by what grandma says or papa says or the preacher says about you or your husband or your wife says about you. You're going to be judged by what the truth is, and that's what God says, and that's what He's already written down about you. He says that death and hell was thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. This is serious. Amen? Everybody that goes to that judgment right there is going to hell. Everybody that goes to that judgment is going to go to hell. There's going to be no escape. Does God want to send people to hell? Absolutely not. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to send anybody to hell. He said, I wish that all men would come to repentance. It's time for us to preach hell hot and heaven sweet. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. You can write this down. God has given me the grace, Paul speaking, God has given me the grace to lay a foundation as a wise builder. Now someone else is building on it, but each one should build carefully. You know that right now you're building a foundation? You are building a foundation. Your life you're building a foundation on something. You ever wonder why you're up and down, 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 you're up and down. You got victory one day and defeat one day. Victory, defeat. You can't decide which side of the fence you want to be on. You know why? Because your foundation is not built right. I didn't hear a lot of amens in here. It's true. Listen what he says. He says, no one can lay any other foundation than what has already been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm laying my foundation on Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you're building it the right way. Because there's a right and a wrong way to build your foundation. Amen? It says, a person may build on it using gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, and straw. The first three things I talked about, the ones that's gold, silver, and jewels, you can't burn up. The second three, the wood, hay, and straw, you can burn it up. Listen, it says, a person may build on it. They're building on Jesus. I want you to understand this. This is talking about saved people. This ain't talking about lost people. Okay? You got to understand that. This is talking about Christians. And they're building a foundation. They're building their foundation on Jesus. But some of them's using the right stuff, and some of them's using the wrong stuff. Some of them's doing it with the right motive, and some of them's doing it with the wrong motive. Some of them's doing it with the right attitude, and some of them's doing it with the wrong attitude. There's a lot of Christians got a pee-poor attitude. Poke your neighbor and wake them up. I know you're tired, but wake up. Let's go. Hallelujah. I ain't done that in a long time, but wake up. You need to hear this. This is serious stuff. You're going to be judged by this right here. He says, but each person's work. Everybody say work. You know that people like a pastor like me and what I preach, people always say, well, you're works-based. I'm not works-based. If you're saved, you're going to do works. We shouldn't have to beg you to work for the kingdom. If you're his slave, you work. You know, slaves work. Don't call me a slave. That's offensive. Well, fooey on that. Get offended over everything. Popsicles make you mad. Listen, slaves work. You are a slave. You don't own yourself anymore. You were bought with a price. Problem in the church is they don't know that they're slaves. They think that they're still in charge and in control. No, you're a king's kid, but you're still a slave. Some of you don't like it. I can tell by looking at your face. But it's the truth. You need to hear the truth, right? I'm happy, y'all. I love preaching truth. I want to hear truth myself. I mean, hey, if my works is not right, why would I want to live the rest of my life and my works not be right and have a bad attitude or whatever else? And I do all this work and then it get burned up at the end? I don't want that. I don't want it for you either. But each person's work will be shown for what it is. Y'all think we the ones that come up, it is what it is. No, the Lord come up with it. It is what it is. It's going to be shown for what it is. And listen, he says it's going to be shown for what it is on judgment day. It will be brought to light. You see, the great white throne judgment is where sinners are going to be judged. But Christians are going to be judged too. We're going to be judged at what's called the judgment seat of Christ. And it says that every single person is going to give an account for what they've done. And I don't like this verse because I talk a lot. And it says that we'll be judged by every idle word we speak. Every senseless word we speak. Help me, Jesus. That's the only time that I want to be one of them quiet people. I get nervous when I'm around quiet people. It's awkward. I like to talk. I don't like it when we got silence in the church. I know you got to have it when the Holy Spirit's moving sometimes, but man, I like some action. Amen? Look at your neighbor. Say, Pastor loves you. He's not talking to you. He's talking to your sister. If you don't have a sister, I'm talking to you. No, I'm just kidding. The judgment seat of Christ. Great white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ will be every single Christian. If you're saved in this room, if you're saved listening, you're going to stand before God too. Do you ever think about that? I mean, if you don't, I want you to. The one who created you, who breathed the breath of life, the one who created everything, the one who just spoke everything into existence, you're going to stand there by yourself in front of him. As much as y'all know I love my church, I love you guys, and I'm not ashamed. I love y'all. But I'm not going to stand there with you. I mean, we are going to stand before God and give an account for what we did. And you know what? I mean, we think it's childish that a pastor or somebody has to get up and ask for workers and ask for help and stuff like that. But you're going to stand before God for what you do. And there's people in the church, people listen, that don't do anything. How can you believe in God? Now, don't get mad. This is where I said it's going to get a little rough. How can you believe in God, say you believe in God, say you trust God, and say you love God, and say you're sold out to God, and say you're a slave to God in Christ Jesus? You're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, do I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Woo! I'm a Christian! And you won't even do nothing in the church. You won't even walk across the street and witness to your neighbor. I'm not mad. I'm excited, okay? How are you going to stand before God? What are you going to say? That ain't going to cut it. I mean, I'm not trying to heap condemnation on you. I'm trying to encourage you. Look, we are working for an eternal investment. If you put your money in something, you want it to get as much interest as you can get. Why? Because it builds your bank account. It builds your retirement. That's what your life is. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're serving God, you're going to heaven. But you're building on an eternal foundation, Jesus Christ. So who are you working for? Who are you working for? Are you doing anything? I mean, if you can look at your life and you say, I want you to tonight, this week. I pray it haunts a mess out of you. I want you to look, what am I doing for Jesus Christ? I'm a Christian. I post on Facebook. I post scriptures. Big whoop-a-doo. The devil knows scriptures too. What are you literally doing for Jesus? You need to sit down and do an inventory of your life and say, what am I doing for Jesus? Not that I'm nice and not that I'm good, not that I pay my tithes and not that I do this. What are you doing for Jesus? Because if you go back in chapter 17, you look at the Pharisee and the sinner, the tax collector. The Pharisee said, I fast twice a week, three times a week. I gave 10% of everything I have. I don't lie, cuss, cheat, steal, I don't do none of that. I thank you that I'm not like that sinner over there. See, his heart was wrong. His heart was wrong. Where's your heart at? You know, I've said this before. I ain't got a wallet. My wallet's in the office. But I've said this before. I've held up my pocketbook. And I've said, I can look at your checkbook, and I can tell you where your heart is. Well, guess what? You can look at somebody's life, and you can tell where their heart is. Boy, anybody want one of these? I feel like about 10 of you is wanting to stone me right now. I know what Stephen felt like when he was looking at him and he said, you dang hypocrites. He said, you don't know God. Your fathers didn't know God. Your family didn't know God. They killed God's servants. Who do you think you are? And they got so mad at him, they got on top of him and started biting him with their teeth. They stoned him to death. And while he was dying, he looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. I don't think you're that mad, but some of you are really ticked off right now. You know why you're ticked off? Because you don't do nothing. If you did something, you wouldn't be ticked off. And everybody that's doing something, say amen. That's a weak amen. There must not be much mean people doing anything. Amen. Woo! Trying to stir you up. That's what I'm supposed to do. I ain't supposed to come in here and butter your bread. I'm supposed to come in here and cut your bread. I think. Listen, on Judgment Day, it would be brought into light. Y'all know I love you, right? I'm just telling you the truth. Okay. I try to make it lighthearted, but I'm telling you the truth. You're going to be judged by what you do. And if you sit in this church, you may sit in other ones, and they might not ever say anything like it. You sit in this church, you're going to be held responsible for what you hear. So please, if you go to other churches, do something. Hallelujah. Let's see. He says, on Judgment Day, it will be brought into light. It will be put through fire. The fire will test how good each person's work is. What you're doing for the Lord, if you're not doing it for the right reason, you're just doing it. Amen. I'm serious. I don't care what it's preaching on the worship team, going to the Hesed house, going to the prison, going to Haiti, going to Alaska, going in. What you do, if you do it for God and you're not doing it for the right reason, guess what? You get absolutely nothing for it. It's wood, hay, and straw. If the building doesn't burn up, God will give the builder a reward for the work. If what we're doing for the Lord, everything, I'm talking about from the little bitty things. If what we're doing for the Lord is with the right intentions and the right heart and the right motives, then we're going to get a reward for it. It's not going to be burned up. It's going to be like the gold, silver, and the jewels. It says, but if the building burns up, the builder will lose everything. Everything you've done, everything you've worked for in the kingdom, if you did it with the wrong attitude, intentions, and motives, and heart, then it ain't going to be worth anything. So make sure when you do something, don't do it because old bald-headed, mean preacher yells at you and you say, well, I'm going to do something or he ain't going to shut up. I ain't never going to shut up. Just do it for the Lord. Do it because he loves you. Do it because you love him. Amen? If the building burns up, the builder will lose everything. The builder will be saved, but only like one escaping through the flames. It's not gonna, this is not going to happen to me, but would this not be so embarrassing to stand before the one that you went to church for 50 years and you did this for 50 years and that for, but you did it with the wrong heart and intention. He looked at you and he says, all your work's gone. You've lost everything. You have nothing to throw at my feet. Would that not be just terrible? How many of y'all are breathing tonight? Some of you don't look like you're breathing. That's why I don't know if you're asleep or if you're dead. That's why I want everybody to shake everybody. Really, I was afraid somebody's dead in here. So just make sure you ain't dead. But if you're breathing in here, you have a chance to change everything. You have a chance to change what you're doing and who you're doing it for and why you're doing it. Amen? You have a chance. It's your opportunity. You're going to be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:10. I'm going to close with this. Y'all love me? We must all stand in front of Christ to be judged. Enough said. We could leave on that. I'm afraid that we don't understand that sometimes. I'm afraid that we don't see the severity of that. You know, like right now we've been shown mercy and grace. Y'all hear me? Every one of us, we've been shown mercy and grace. Everybody's listening to me. Every person on the face of this earth, whether they're a sinner or whether they're a saint, are being showed mercy and grace. But on this day, there's no mercy and there's no grace. Do y'all understand that? You know, I'm sure y'all like me and you've fallen, you've messed up, and you say, you cry out to the Lord, God, forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. And guess what he does, man? He shows you mercy and grace. But on that day, there ain't going to be no falling down on the ground and crying, saying, Lord, please forgive me. Please. It's over. That's scary. That should shake you to your core. Especially if you ain't doing nothing. Or especially if you live in one way at home and another way at church. Yeah, that should scare you to death. If you ain't walking a walk and talking a talk and you just talking a talk and ain't walking a walk, what I just said should scare you to death. If you got secret sin in your life, hidden sin in your life, you playing games, everybody else thinks you're okay, you ain't going to fool God. The books are going to be written. They're being written right now. Amen? We must all stand before Christ to be judged. Each one of us will be judged for what we do while in our bodies. I was talking about a works mentality. So many people believe in eternal security. If you believe that, fine with you. I don't believe that, never will believe that. I believe that if you give your life to Christ and you go out and you live like the devil, you're going to hell. That's what I believe. I believe that's scriptural. And people look at me and say, well, you're a works-based pastor. No, I ain't. But if you're saved, you're going to work. They don't quote the whole scripture. It says, for you are saved by grace, lest any man should boast. They, boy, that throw that out there in a second. You're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. We can't boast. But then the very next verse says, but you were created for good works. So if you're saved, you're going to do good works. Amen? Then each of us will receive what we're supposed to get. Eternal rewards. We're going to receive what we're supposed to get. Nothing less, nothing more. We're going to receive what we earn. The work that we've done, we're going to receive for that. And I believe that those rewards, it's just like on, man, I'm thinking all kind of stuff. You know, when we used to do field day, they don't let people do field days no more because everybody gets a trophy. Lord, forgive me. Participation trophy. Man, my mama would have laughed at that. But you remember when you won a ribbon or you won a little trophy? I still got some of my trophies in my office. I give all the big ones away, but the little ones that mean the most when I was young and basketball and baseball and tennis, I still got some of them back there in the box. Are they worth anything? They are to me. And to have that reward. You know, I remember when mama gave me the box and I'm like, man, them things are still around. They mean something to me. I remember getting those. So don't you think that these rewards we're going to receive from Jesus, that they're going to mean something to us way more than any earthly reward that we could receive? I mean, come on. You think, I've got some pretty plaques. I want some pretty trophies. I ain't never going to get no reward like I'm going to get in heaven. And that's just a little bit of the ice cream. The cherry on the top is we're going to get to spend eternity with Jesus, with God. I don't know. I don't even know if we can understand. I know the Bible says that I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. I don't think we can, Bill, I don't think we can just kind of grip it. But I like the thought of it. And I know he's going to blow me away. I'm guilty. Glenna, tell me sometimes in the house, I'm guilty of building stuff up. And then when they see it, they're like, well, yeah, I build it up too high. But you can't build heaven up too high. Woo-hoo! That Alaska trip is the prettiest place I've ever been in my life. And I cried on that boat, man. I cried like a baby. I was sitting out there looking at all the glaciers, and I was crying like a baby, man, just weeping, looking at the beauty of God. And this man was standing beside me. He said, are you okay? I said, buddy, I'm better than you can ever imagine. I said, I'm just sitting here thinking of the beauty of God. He said, I was just thinking of the same thing. I never saw that guy again. Probably never see him again on earth, but I'll get to see him in heaven, hopefully. It's worth it, church. It's worth it. It's worth it. Amen. He bought you. He paid for you with his blood. If you're saved, man, you ought to be the happiest people on the face of this earth. And tonight, every one of you, I want you to go home and look at what you look like the way you're sitting right now. Just make that same face and you say, that's what Pastor Scott has to look at. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's all good, right? It's all good. Church, listen, you're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account of our life. What we did and how we did it with the attitude that we did it with. Amen? If you're not doing anything, get busy. Get busy. There's plenty to do. There's plenty to do. There's plenty of people to love on. What's our statement? Love those that others don't love. Ain't there a bunch of them around here? A bunch of them in the church. Love those that others don't love. Reach those that others deem unreachable. Those people that are a basket case, those people that everybody else thinks is hopeless, that's the ones that we should be loving on, man. I've had people come to me before. Now, my brother or my son, they come in a church. Are they going to be at the get-together we're going to do and stuff? And I'm just letting you know, they're mean. Or they. I'm like, good, that's the ones I want to hang out with. I'm serious. Glenn, I tell you, I feel right at home around them. No, I don't mean it like she's that way. That ain't what I'm saying. I mean, I did not mean it like that. I'm just saying I feel right at home because, yeah. Because that's the way I was. That's the way we roll in Bessemer City. Amen? I need to move on, don't I, Phil? Hallelujah. No, for real, though, man. Love on people that nobody else don't love on. Then you blow their mind. I've had people tell me, why are you treating me like this? Why are you going to help me? I've had people with other religions at the camp come up to me and say, man, why did you help me? I said, what do you mean why that? Why would you help me? I don't believe like you believe. Man, I love you. I love you whether you believe what I believe or not. And I'm praying that one day you're going to realize that those people that you think love you really don't love you and don't do nothing for you. And then you're going to think, oh, that old bald-headed man, I tell you, he did something for me, he loved me, and he had nothing to gain from it. I'm going to go talk to him again. I've had it happen. We've had people come and sit in these chairs from the prison and from the streets that were rough as a cob. Nobody would fool with them. And you just show them some love. Just show them some love. Tell the truth, but show them some love. And then they've come out here and gotten saved. Some of them got saved in this church. Some of them got saved at the camp. There's people right now that talk about Will all the time from the camp in a good way. And it's not about your cookies, which I know they like them. But for real, she's made an impact on some of their lives. And they asked about her. Curtis, where's Curtis at? Okay, back there. I mean, made an impact. Fred made an impact on their life. Made an impact on their life. Why? Because they loved them and they couldn't give them anything in return. It's people that God's going to put in your path that you need to love on because nobody else is loving on them. Sure, they jacked up, messed up, so is you. Amen? God will take a mess and make a message and a masterpiece and all that. Man, I love that. Don't you like seeing that? I love seeing what's going on with Rose and I think about Matt and Reba. Y'all, awesome what God's done. And I was talking about this day. I'm getting ready to baptize y'all in a couple weeks because we're going to finagle it around where they're going to be here. I'm going to get to baptize them. But I was thinking this morning, and I'm going to just do it now because it's here. But I want to thank the church. A lot of you that have sowed into their life, and y'all have discipled them. Let's be honest, I used to have to do about all the discipleship. I don't have to do that now. Y'all are grown up spiritually, and you understand what discipleship is, and y'all discipled them. Anyway, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of our church. I am. I'm proud of our church. We've come a long way, and God's moving. Amen. And I love y'all. And guess what? I know y'all going to come work Saturday because you know the preacher's going to get you Sunday if you don't. No. Come work. Let's have fun. Amen. Come. Hey, listen. Come with a good heart. Don't get up. Man, I got to go to that church. Nuh-uh. You ain't going to get rewarded for it. You might as well stay in a bed. I just read it. Come with a good heart. There's nothing like serving God, man. There's nothing. Y'all know it. I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, there's nothing like serving God. There's nothing like loving on people. There's nothing like it, man. So just do it. Don't be afraid. How can you love wrong? That's good. I'd appreciate it. How can you love wrong? I don't believe. Well, you can love. There's some of you loving people that you shouldn't. You need to be getting away from, and you know what I'm talking about. But how do you love wrong, man? I mean, love people. Really love people. Amen. Y'all stand with me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, it is a very, it's a very, very tough subject to talk about is judgment. But God, I know that we're going to stand before you. And Jesus, you're judging us. And I want to stand before you with a pure heart and clean hands. And I know this congregation does and those that are listening. And we have opportunity to do that. You know, there may be stuff going on in people's lives that needs to be straightened out. Then straighten it out. You got time. But we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next breath. You need to pray now and repent now and turn to Jesus now. Don't wait. Don't wait. And don't walk away like the rich young ruler who went away sad because he had all that stuff. And, you know, sometimes people think about all the stuff they got to give up. Listen, there is not one thing that I had to give up that I miss. He has filled me with so many beautiful things and good things. And that's what he wants to do. So, God, I pray over our church and those that are listening. I pray that you'd minister to them. I pray that they would be busy doing your work. Doing it with a good heart and good motives and intentions and attitudes. I know sometimes I got a bad attitude. Help me, Lord. I stand in need. So, Lord, help us, because we do want to stand before you, and we want you to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I know this sounds crazy, but I want you to be cheesing when I walk in. That's my boy. That's my girl. I'm proud of them. I want to make you proud. I hear that a lot. People say I want to make my parents proud. I want to make you proud. Help us to want to make you proud. Help us to want to serve you and do what you've called us to do. Help us to raise disciples, Lord. Minister to people. It's messy. Making disciples is messy, but it's awesome when we see the fruit of our labor. Lord, and sometimes we may not ever see the fruit, but we'll see them in heaven. We love you. We give you praise. Minister to your people, Lord. I send them out, Lord. May they be salt to this messed up world. May they be fire to those that are in darkness, Lord. Light to those that are in darkness. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Greet your neighbors. Tell them you love them. And we'll see you at 8:30 Saturday morning.